They should replace the sound after that after David Caruso takes off his sunglasses with Adam Duritz saying "Yeah" at the end of that song instead of the Who. So, yeah. Hey everybody, Thursday night again. For real this time, it's actually Thursday. Last time I said it was Thursday, it wasn't really Thursday. I was lying.
No, the last time you said it was Thursday, it was actually Thursday.
And wasting my breath. Oh, it was Thursday during the day. The time before that, I was lying. The time before that, I was lying.
Yeah, but they didn't hear you the time before that because you were wasting your breath.
See, they finally put a transcript of that show up.
Yeah.
And discussed our discussions.
In disgust?
It's one of those shows where we talk about games.
This
designs.
Game. This game.
Game design.
And it's game.
This game design. In particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you been since last we radioed Hot Stuff?
Good. Been working on stuff. Not been playing StarCraft 2.
Yeah. Fuck that noise.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Why do those assholes not simultaneously develop? They always release games simultaneously.
Yeah. That's why I'm really confused. I'm like, don't they want to get feedback on the Mac client?
I think that the purpose of the... Like, it's... I feel like their client is probably pretty rock solid. Like what they're doing now is just getting feedback from the hardest of the hardcore Korean kids on how exactly the units should be balanced against one another.
I guess.
They're going to reduce the effectiveness of the Protoss destroyer's blast beam by 1.5% on the advice of somebody who's probably also really good at ping pong
and spreadsheets.
Yeah. Yeah, people who are good at spreadsheets are good at figuring out when Protoss destroyer blast beams need to be reduced in power by 1.5%.
They're also pretty likely to not be good at having sex with girls.
Oh, right. It's sex or spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Right?
I could see how people could get confused.
Yeah. I mean, spreadsheets are the things you put your penis into, right?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm good at spreadsheets.
Yeah.
All right. Riff, what have you been up to?
Nothing. A little this, a little that. Playing the new Ace Attorney game.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Did you guys get two copies of it?
No, just the one.
Are you super excited about Heavy Rain?
I don't know. I hear it's really good. Nightmare was in chat today and was like, oh my god, you have to fucking play this.
Wow, he's playing it.
Okay.
Is it
but he's
Rain
a
guy of deuterium?
Nightmare's a guy who's like really enjoys the idea of like making a snack for his son. I'm kind of serious.
Yeah.
That dude loves his kid and he's all like, "I love making a snack for my kid." And he's like, "For Christmas every year I'm going to give you some snack I made for my kid that he wouldn't eat or he would weigh 1,000 pounds." Cuz Nightmare's fat. His kids are probably genetically predisposed to being fat.
Are you talking about the cookies?
Yes. Every year, Nightmare makes us cookies and sends them to us. And every year, I make fun of him for being a fat homosexual. That's my Christmas gift to him. Happy birthday, Nightmare. Because Nightmare is also Jesus.
He sent me this, like, rebus that he was, like, confused about. And then we had the insight that maybe it wasn't designed to be deciphered in English. And we gave up.
Oh.
Because it could be any possible language... And you have to know all the words for those things in that language, and then even then, you still have to be able to like do some sort of like wordplay. And I was like, ah, fuck this.
Yeah. How? What gave you the clue that it was in another language?
It might not, and we don't know. It just made no sense in English. And then he was like,
One of the letters that was subtracted one of those backwards R's from Russian?
No, it was. There were no letters subtracted or added. It was two pictures. Added together.
It was a cow plus a coffee bean over a spoon
equals a glass of beer.
Was it necessarily beer, do you think?
I thought it was beer.
When I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is a recipe for a latte. but
Milk plus
coffee over. Stirred.
Could one of them have been lemonade? Could it have been a glass of lemonade? And could the spoon have been a fudge spoon?
No fudge spoon.
And could the line in between them have been a corner?
No.
From some perspective.
No.
From a perspective, a corner is a line.
Yeah. From a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view!
Yeah.
Luke Skywiner. He wanted to go into Tachi Station! One time I wanted to I had this one of those 3D puzzles that was R2-D2 that somebody had gotten me. I put it together in the end.
It has
you
like
know,
a little voice box.
Yeah, which is cool. It's like a little box that makes R2-D2 noises. And when I was living with a pretentious artist, we were fans of you know, putting funny greetings on our answering machine. Our answering machine, kids. It used to be that telephone came down a wire.
Back in the early days.
It went to your house, yeah. This was like just post-Civil War.
Wait, was this when power also came to all your devices by a wire?
Yeah, no, it's weird.
Yeah, that's
it's weird. And you know you know how the internet came to you?
No.
Not at all.
Huh!
Anyway, when you had a land telephone line, you had this device. Before the phone company had services to give you voicemails, you had this device that was like an answering machine, they called it. It was like a machine for answering the phone for you when you weren't there. Or when you were there, but you were too drunk to actually
remember
get the phone off.
How?
Get the cradle off of the...
Remember how phones work?
Get the cradle to the grave. Wasn't that a movie with a rapper? Get the phone hook off the hook cradle. I forget the words for things. It's been hundreds of years since this happened.
I think you want to rock that cradle of love.
I do want to rock the cradle of love.
And you want to see a movie about the cradle of life.
Okay.
Was it like a Lara Croft movie? Was that Lara Croft, The Cradle of Life? Yeah, it was Lara Croft.
Tomb Raider,
Cradle of Life.
Cradle Raider.
Cradle
that's
Robber.
That's a movie about you.
Yeah.
My mom
was getting a little... She was like, what is all this... what are all these jokes about you and the high school girls? And I'm like, just jokes, Mom.
How many of them did I make in front of her?
A lot.
Really?
A lot. She's like, Zach, their Jick keeps talking about...
Your mom calls
12-year-olds. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, she calls you different names, I'm sure, depending on the context.
You don't know the half of it, buddy. Anyway, I had this R2-D2 box... And what I wanted to do was push the button on the R2-D2 box and say, what's that, R2? And then push it again and say, Zach and Roy aren't here right now because they went into Tachi Station to get some power converters? And then Roy was like, no way, dude. That's super gay. I'm not going to have that as my outgoing message.
That's so,
so
great.
I know, right? That was the best thing ever. So what I did was he's a dick. And so what I did instead was I'm like, I pushed the button. I was like, eh. Zach and Roy can't come to the phone right now. They're out back dropping a tranny. Because I felt like that was manlier. But what it actually meant was that we were chloroform ragging a transvestite so that we could make him our sex slave. When I say I'm dropping something, like when I dropped the database, what I was actually doing was knocking out a 12-year-old girl with chloroform.
Huh.
I don't know what she was doing with that chloroform. But she was coming at me. With malice in her eyes, so I knocked her out with a baseball bat.
Do you think trannies will ever be grannies? You have a granny tranny?
I don't know. I think that joke has been made about the porn that you do not want to see.
Oh.
The grannies and trannies.
Yeah, hey.
The gilfs.
Yeah.
The transvestite gilfs. So Riff...
Mm-hmm.
What kind of answering machine did you have in the late 1900s?
Oh, I had some weird ones. There was one that was
steam powered,
like a little voice clip at the front of my life with a Thrill Kill Cult song that I just recorded that into the answering machine, and you really couldn't hear what was being said, so it didn't work very well, but I think I confused some people kind of badly with that.
I feel like that is a problem even today, where people's outgoing voicemail or answering machine messages or whatever are just indecipherable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Mr. Skullheads is kind of just like, what?
Oh, really?
And then, yeah.
Dude, when I call him, he answers, so that never happens to me.
I call him more than you do.
Every once in a while, I get a voicemail that's like, ah, cute greeting, and I'm like, I have no idea what my voicemail greeting is, because I recorded it like a long time ago, and I just have any idea what it is.
I forget.
I remember the, in a world where Zach didn't answer his phone, one man had the courage to leave a message. But then when girls called me, I felt like they got offended by that.
Oh. No.
No, they just didn't leave me a message because they realized that as not a man, they would not have the courage.
That's true.
I think my favorite outgoing message that Roy and I had was just us both screaming in unison.
Did you guys change it like every week?
We changed it every few months, I think. Yeah, we'd get drunk and we'd come home, and then so the things that we did when we would come home drunk was either like, dude, let's get stoned and play that Gauntlet game on Nintendo 64, or dude, let's watch Braveheart again, or dude, let's see if there's a Stargate SG-1 on. That's what we would do when we came home
drunk. Braveheart is totally worth watching drunk, like
a thousand times. Hundreds of times. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can just watch it over and over again.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go home and watch it tonight.
I've seen it probably 24 times.
That may or may not be true. Not what you said. I believe that you've seen it 24 times. But I'm not going to go home and watch it tonight. Nat Hand wrote into Twitter, please, please, please make a D&D podcast like Penny Arcade or Robot Chicken. It would be awesome. So I've listened to the Penny Arcade one, but I was not aware of a Robot Chicken Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Was it a pod? Did they do like a podcast? Or was it some sort of D&D show?
I don't know. But I think it'd be pretty fun.
I think, yeah, I'd totally be down for that.
Although, I mean, I feel like the way D&D. That Riff and I, the way that Riff and I play D&D, it would be entertaining to listen to. The way that Hot Stuff played, it would just be like, stop being an asshole, Hot Stuff.
Yeah.
You're a frustrating dude to play D&D with when you're trying to just goof off.
How so?
Well, so, to me, when I played D&D, the first D stands for dicking around, and the second D stands for douchebaggery. Uh-huh. But with you, the first D stands for drama, and the second D stands for kind of a dick.
You mean it kind of stands for a dick?
No. Well, dick of a sort.
Duke.
the Duke of Jerks. did you become the Duke of Jerks in a high school Ben and Pippa role-playing game and... You're just trying to rise to your station. You want to take it all seriously, Hot Stuff. You want to...
Well, I mean...
I know. I mean, I feel like I'm somewhere in between you and Riff.
It depends on what the...
Both physically, yeah, in terms of our location while we record this pod on the radio broadcast.
I mean, most of the games that we have played have all been one-offs, so I have been not as worried about being at all serious about them as I would if it were...
And
a serious game.
I come from playing with my high school friends where all we did was play these long campaigns that lasted for years.
Right, and where you never fought any monsters or went to any dungeons. All you did was, like,
politics.
Espionage with the Duke's wife and,
So that's what you call it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You, where you would get exiled from a kingdom for holding the king's wife's hand
or looking
in
at
a vat of acid. So I feel like your favorite game to play when you're playing D&D is digging into inconsistencies in things that the Dungeon Master has said and making the Dungeon Master feel like a big dipshit.
Did I do that?
You did that to me.
Oh, well, yeah.
Wait, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? You contradicted yourself. And I was like, the woman who said that slaps you.
There was a lot of rapidly changing information about the world in the one adventure that you ran.
Sure, because I was making shit up.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's different than lying. We've established that making shit up is different than lying.
Yeah.
On previous broadcasts.
Last week.
On the last 10 dozen minutes of making shit up with Jake Hotstuff and Riff. Wait, or was it the last 10 dozen minutes of lying? See, when you do it, it's lying. Every time you say something that's not true, it's a lie.
That's not true.
Cyberdyne says, any plans to make Olympic-themed changes to the extreme slope? Tell you what I don't give a shit about is the Olympics.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I gave a rat's ass about the Olympics.
I watched, like, half an hour of the Olympics this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think?
It was figure skating. It's always figure skating.
Yeah, and...
I don't get it.
Fucking figure skating, man.
Like, it's cool that they can, like, throw each other in the air and spin around and stuff, but...
You know what's weird?
Every performance is kind of the same. It's just... The only question is, like, are they going to fall?
Yeah.
Oh, they fell. Aww.
They don't
are they
going to
fall?
Really
oh, they
enough.
Didn't fall! Yay!
It used to be that the Olympic event that everybody made fun of as being worthless and stupid was curling.
Yeah.
But this year, every... the internet is full of commentary about, oh my god, curling is awesome.
Maybe that's just some sort of
and I don't
prank.
Think it, no, I don't think it's sarcasm.
I mean, at least last year when they were doing the figure skating thing, there was that pair where in the pair's figure skating where the girl like cut the guy's face open.
Whoa, really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Was she like hit him with her skate or something?
Yeah, she was like spinning around.
Damn.
And she cut his face open.
Wow, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, they were skating again this year.
You want to know how I got these scars? I used to be an Olympic figure skater.
There was some like snowboard drama last Olympics where like the American female thought she was so far ahead she started doing tricks at the very end and she wiped out and came in second.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know.
Right, so I feel like in 1,000 hours of television coverage of the Olympics, there is maybe 30 seconds of interesting material.
That's kind of what I feel like with most sporting events, right? I don't know why you would ever watch an entire sporting event instead of just the highlights.
Because go team! You don't have any fucking civic pride?
I don't.
You don't even have a Civic. You don't even have a home.
That's true. I definitely don't have a Honda Civic, though.
That's true.
If I did, I could live in one.
You don't have any Prius pride?
I don't have a Prius either.
You don't have a Prius either.
I don't have a car.
Oh, right. You just bum rides from me all the time.
I bike
a
lot of the time.
You're like a hitchhiking homeless hobo.
I am kind of like a hitchhiking homeless hobo.
Yeah. An HHH, as they call them on HGTV when they do documentaries about homeless hitchhiking hobos.
Yeah.
That's not the channel that they do that on. I was wrong. It's actually the Lifetime Learning Network.
You're not lying right now. I'm just making shit up.
Yeah. What about you, Riff? You drive a Honda Civic.
I do drive a Honda Civic.
And yeah, that's weird.
Are you proud of that pride?
Yeah.
I'm kind of proud of my Civic. When I've remembered to do my civic duties, like changing the oil.
Oh yeah. Do you ever take a dump in your Civic and refer to it as a civic duty?
I have not.
Somebody took a duty in my Civic. You don't drive it a lot, though.
I don't. Actually, I should find some excuse to drive it here soon before the battery evaporates again.
Are they made out of water? Because
well,
I hear
they
that
just, they
evaporating batteries in the desert is a problem.
Yeah.
There are a lot of pro-curling sentiments being tossed hither and yon in the radio chat channel, and I would just like to weigh in and say that you guys are all completely full of shit, because curling is some complete bullshit.
I mean, isn't it basically just like bocce ball on ice?
I thought it was like...
It's like shuffleboard.
No, I thought it was like janitorial competition, right? Because you're basically sweeping the floor a lot. And the floor just happens to be ice, and you're sweeping really fast in front of some object.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about how it suddenly got to be hip this year.
Well, I'm wondering if it has to do with Canada. Is Canada like a big curling place?
Probably.
So maybe, I feel
that
like
might be it.
Host countries have an sort of influence on what gets...
Do you suppose that in order to prepare for their performances, the competitors pump a lot of curling iron?
Yeah.
Did you know that was joke that I was going to make? How did you know that?
What else could it have been?
It in your eyes you saw it in my eyes that was the joke that I was going to make.
Yeah.
That's, man, we got to spend less time together.
What else could it have been, though? I mean, as soon as you started that sentence, I was like, oh, yeah.
Gleebs thinks there's some hot girls on the women's curling teams.
I did see some pictures of the Japanese women's curling team, and they were pretty cute.
Yeah, but you think all Japanese girls are cute.
Well, they were particularly cute.
It's the large eyes and the schoolgirl outfits.
And the fact that your penis is at the end of a long tentacle. So you know there's
that's
really only...
That's just why they like me.
There's really only one kind of girl that's going to put up with that shit. So one thing I did notice when I saw I was at a bar and there was curling on television in the bar. I spent a lot of time at airports this weekend.
Oh yeah.
Ended up getting to the airport in Florida like 5 hours before the flight took off.
You've not regaled anyone with tales of your excursion to
it was
the Panhandle.
It was pretty chill, you know. We went to Florida. We went to Disney World. We went to Epcot.
Not the Panhandle.
We drank around the world at Epcot. It was easy, but it was
That is kind of depressing. The fact that it was you should have done a double circuit.
Yeah, there wasn't really time to do that. We didn't get there right when they opened, and I, like...
Well, but you also slowed way down.
Yeah, a double would be pretty problematic for me. See, I remember being super drunk after we finished doing it the first time. I mean, I wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like the drunkest I had ever been, but I was like, oh, damn, I am drunk. I need to stand in neck-high water for 2 hours.
We stayed in
that
pool.
That was a terrible idea.
Dehydrated even further.
No, I was drinking out of the pool. It was delicious. It tasted like bleach and little children farts. I don't know.
I feel like chlorine tastes distinctly different than bleach, and that's sort of an important thing, because you're not supposed to mix the two, right?
No, it's bleach and ammonia.
Oh, it makes
bleach,
chlorine
bleach
glass.
Is chlorine.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Chlorine bleach, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think bleach is just chlorine and water.
Huh.
And ammonia and chlorine are the things you're not supposed to mix. I had this plan that I was going to get... two goldfish in two separate bowls and name them, and I would name them bleach and chlorine, but the people would say, why aren't these goldfish in the same bowl? And I would say, because they're named bleach and chlorine.
I see.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, here's a voicemail.
Hey, Jake, this is Linguini Lad. I was just wondering why you guys haven't been playing much voicemails on the show. Is it just that most of the people that leave voicemails are just really bad sound quality or something, or what? Okay, bye.
I wouldn't say it's the sound quality that's bad.
That was pretty good sound quality, though.
It was pretty good sound quality. I got some more of these.
How was the Google transcript of that particular...
Basically, the thing, the widget on Google Voice that says, was this transcript useful, might as well not have a yes on it. Because it is never more than like 5% accurate.
Huh.
On any of these. It's fucking ridiculous. I mean, I would say that maybe there are some problems because the voicemails sent in for our show are maybe a little more jargon heavy on average than voicemails to general purpose. Just dudes,
maybe.
Like a hey, I, you know, maybe if somebody called and said like, hey, could you pick up some milk on the way home?
General
thanks.
Purpose.
This is Daphne.
Dudes.
What?
General purpose?
It seems like if you knew a gal named Daphne, that would be the kind of gal that would ask you to pick up some milk, right?
Or to solve
Scooby
some crimes.
Yeah.
No. Why do you have to make the stupid kid show?
Because that's the Daphne we all know.
Yeah, I mean, I have never in the world met or heard of anybody named Daphne except for that character.
Really? What about Dabney?
What about Daphne Duck?
Who's that guy?
Daphne Coleman.
Dabney Coleman, yeah. Who is Dabney Coleman? It was a dude, right? It was like some...
Yeah. He was the guy... Wasn't he the guy in... what was that movie... It was like the spy video game.
Oh, fuck. 80s. Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger. That
movie ruled.
That was an awesome movie.
At the time.
I remember liking it a lot. I don't remember much about it.
So, like, it started out with like, him playing a pen and paper spy role-playing game with, like, some neckbeard from the computer store.
Mm-hmm.
And his... Jack Flack was the name of his character, and he was a super spy.
Oh, yeah. And, damn, I can't even believe you remember that.
He had to.
Chick's memory is amazing.
He had to. So it was his dad. It was Dabney Coleman. Yeah. No. I mean, you remembered who Dabney Coleman was, and that he was in that movie, right? So yeah. So then, like at the end, it's like it's sort of like panning out of the game and getting into the real world. Like Jack Flack is stuck in like some. You know, there's like a guy with a gun coming down some alley that he's stuck in, and then this giant 20-sided die rolls toward him, and then like it goes out, and it's like, oh, we got time to stop playing. You got to go home. And anyway. There was some, there was like a little girl who was his sister, who I think turned into somebody real. I feel like it was the same kid from something else too. Like the main character might have also been the kid from
real.
No, she turned out to be an actress, I think. I'm not positive that that's the case. Because a lot of times you'll see a movie with a kid in it, and then that's the only thing they ever did, right? Like, the kid from E.T. didn't really have a career. He was in Niagara, Niagara, which was a fantastic movie, and anybody who has not seen it should try and figure out how to watch it, because I don't know how the fuck one would go about doing that. It's got Robin Tunney in it, and she's a girl with, like, really serious Tourette's syndrome, and they like, Elliot falls in love with her, and they go on a cross-country crime spree. And then I think everybody dies.
Wait, are they on a bicycle?
No.
And they don't...
Oh, they fly. Yeah, they fly across in front of the moon.
Yeah.
And they cast a silhouette. And she's like,
is that E.T., illegal?
Fuck, fuck, fuck! Yeah. Because she has Tourette's syndrome. It's got Robin Tunney in it. Robin Tunney is a cutie pie. That is my prognosis. If I were a doctor trying to diagnose whether or not Robin Tunney was a cutie pie, my diagnosis would be yes. She was in an episode of House.
Who was she?
She was a teacher who, like, started spazzing out and collapsed in front of her class. It was in the first season. Something in her refrigerator caused it to happen, or...
No, it was, like, the hormones that her, like...
Neighbors growing weed.
I think it was, like...
Confusing a bunch of episodes of House. Anyway, so that's Cloak and Dagger. Our 80s video game spy movie.
I forget what happened in that. Didn't...
So there was a...
Like,
so the,
foil some crime?
He got a... No, well, so the kid gets a hold of, like, a prototype Atari game, basically.
Yeah.
That has some government secrets embedded in it. Like, if you beat the game, then it displays some government secrets. So he has it, and then these spies are coming after him. But he is prone to fantasizing about spy shit happening, so no one believes him.
Right.
And, Dabney Coleman is his dad, in addition to being Jack Flack in his fantasies, because he admires his dad. And his mom died years before the start of the film. And he and his little sister have walkie-talkies.
Was her name Moonchild?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a weird thing to ask, though.
Yeah. You brought up Atreyu the other day.
Oh, right. When were we talking about Atreyu?
I don't remember.
Just saw a word that reminded me of the word Atreyu. That's normally why I start talking about things. You might think it's easy being me, but you'd be wrong. It's hard. All right, more voicemail.
Hey, Jack, this is Linguini Lad. In response to something you said on the radio show from the 21st pertaining to the item drop rates, you said something about how it's totally fine if... has a crazy low drop rate if it's something that's tradable. Well, then how do you justify for the ones that are untradable, like that pirate outfit that takes forever to get? Okay, thanks. Bye.
So I think we were sort of talking about the, like, ethics of item drops, right? And that whole thing, like, how having an item with a super low drop rate is a way to make things very rare, but not actually, like, frustrate people or encourage bad behavior if it's a thing that will just happen to a certain number of people in a big enough group playing. I do not think that the pirate outfit is particularly defensible from like a moral standpoint.
That's probably true.
Honestly. You know, it's a thing, and it was just like, well, we've never done anything like this, so let's do it and see how people feel about it. It's basically just cosmetic, right? Like, I don't think
except that
you get the Halloween candy, you get the tattoo, which is potentially reasonable, potentially impactful in PvP,
I don't think
that really matters. For completionists, it's important, but, like, completionists need nigh unreachable goals in order to stay satisfied. Right? Like, it's not...
I am so glad I got out of World of Warcraft before the achievements.
Before they put in achievements? Yeah, because you'd have to get them all, and you wouldn't be able to get them all.
There's just no way. There's no way.
See, and I look
somebody
at it, and
did.
I think... Somebody did, yeah.
Yeah,
somebody did. I look at it, and I think there is no way I'm going to get all these. Oh, well.
The having to, like, go do the highest end raid and have nobody even die once. Like that.
Yeah, you'll get it 5 years from now when that raid's easy.
Maybe. If you can get a group of people together to go back.
You can. You'll get a group of people that want to get that achievement. It is weird, and I've heard people talking about stuff like this on video game podcasts that I listen to. Like, I get the completionist instinct. You know, I'm saying I get it. Like, I understand it. Because, like, there are things that I will get it about. Hey, speaking of which, remind me to talk about Space Miner in a minute.
Yeah.
But achievements just don't do that.
Huh.
To me. You know, like, someone got frustrated because I was thinking about a game that would be a game that I would want to get 100% completion on that also had achievements, and the only thing that I could think of was Shadow Complex, that Xbox Live Metroidvania shooter thing. I didn't even finish that game. I got frustrated because I couldn't figure out what you were supposed to do in the like end game sequence where everything is on fire, and I just stopped playing it.
Huh.
Yeah, but that was a game where I totally would have kept playing it and gotten the map 100% explored. I would have gotten all the bomb upgrades and stuff. You know, I would have found everything because that's the kind of game that makes me want to find everything in it. But, like, I just don't give a shit about the Xbox Live achievements.
You won VVVVVVV and then went back to come to get everything and then were like, ah, fuck this.
Yeah, no, there was one. All right, so if anybody. VVVVVV is a game that is eminently worth playing if you like games. If you like,
I can't imagine that anybody that listens to us likes games.
Yeah,
what are they doing?
If you like thinking about games, right? He has clearly made some decisions. Like I feel like this is the first game where I have been able to directly trace Braid's lineage.
Huh.
Right. Like there were some things that were important to. Terry Cavanaugh is the guy that made VVVVVV, that I don't necessarily think are important. He seemed to be like sort of anti-power up, and so nothing was gated. Like basically you can get anywhere in the game from the beginning. Like mm-hmm. there are no locked doors anywhere, or things that are equivalent to locked doors, which I don't feel like that's necessarily important, because, I mean, to me,
it would be cool, honestly, a game that was like that, where the gating was just learning how to do something new.
Yeah.
Like, watching you play that, you did some stuff that I was like, oh, I don't know that I would have thought to do that in
There's
certain places or whatever.
Some,
you know?
Like that in, Super Metroid, like the Shine Spark move or whatever.
Yeah, which I never figured that out.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can if you know that it exists, you can do it from the beginning. Well, not from the beginning. You have to have those boots. But once you got the boots, you can do that move even before you've encountered the thing that shows you that move.
Right, I feel like with Metroid, they started building sequence breaking into the game on purpose. Right?
Possibly. Because
remember when Xenophobe got obsessed with Metroid Zero?
Yeah.
And like, there were some like bullshit tricks you could do where you could beat that game in like 25 minutes. Right? And normally it takes like 4 or 5 hours. And like, he was just obsessively going through and just learning to do these incredibly hard tricks and things where, like, you know, he started like, all right, I'm gonna see if I can beat this in 25 minutes without saving, right? Because you'd get like a slightly different ending if you did it that way, but it was like nigh impossible, and you just had to have like, you know, it's like, all right, I'm 20 minutes in and I need fucking just split second impeccable timing on this jump if I'm gonna do it. I don't know that I think that gating like that is necessarily bad. I don't know that he thinks it's bad either, right?
Terry
like,
Kavanaugh?
Yeah. Like, but it was just, that was a thing where he, like, in the same way, like, I feel like there was this list of features on Braid that was, like, no filler, every puzzle is unique,
right?
And there was a list of things about VVVVVV that was, like, no gating, the whole world is explorable. I, for one...
Braid was very short for that, though, you know? Like, it didn't last very long.
Braid was...
It's like 2 or 3 hours.
I think Braid is a longer game than VVVVVV, though.
But it was longer. It was also much longer in development.
Sure.
But that's. I mean, that's
well,
one
I mean,
of the.
It looks better. It's a much bigger budget thing, right? Like
that's one of the problems, though, right? Like you, if you want all of the experiences to be meaningful and unique, it's a lot more.
It's just a ton of work, right?
Yeah.
To produce. Yeah.
Like
to
you, produce you do, stuff for if people. You do anything that you do that's not
that
like
isn't
that
Torchlight.
I mean, anything that is, like, algorithmic is going to be way easier to produce, and you can have way, 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 way more of it.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to figure out some sort of algorithm for content that effectively felt like it was designed.
It would be. I was reading an article last night about a guy who had written it was a piece of software that was generating music that most people could not distinguish between, like, Bach pieces they had never heard and pieces of music that were written by this program.
Huh.
And he I don't know, had some existential crisis and, like, deleted the program, like, in the 80s or something. And then now he's made a new one. And he's, like, he seems like some weirdo.
Huh.
I don't know. There was a parody of Passage on Kongregate.
Yeah?
That was pretty fucking funny.
Really?
Yeah. It was. You should play it. It's called Passage in 10 Seconds, and it's like, I really feel like I can appreciate both.
It is weird that, like, effectively immediately after these, like, kind of interesting sort of artistic experiments in game and sort of human, you know, interaction with computer sort of stuff happens, almost immediately there is now parody of it.
Like that and Achievement Unlocked. And
yeah.
The fact that Achievement Unlocked is, like, one of the most popular games on Kongregate and is fucking fun. I mean, like, in a way, to me, so Achievement Unlocked is about, hey, check out how easy it is to trick you into believing that you're having fun. And from my perspective, I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. I did have fun playing that.
Yep.
I remember playing it. I remember it being fun. I enjoyed that for 15 minutes. And you know what? You can't take that away from me.
You know,
just by being a smartass.
But in part of, you know, part of what their smartassness did was make it kind of funny, which just adds to the overall enjoyment level, right? Like, you know, like, if they're trying to make a point, they need to be less entertaining. You were going to talk about Space Miner.
Oh yeah, yeah. So if you're the kind of guy who's into some iPhone games or some iPhones, or perhaps an iPad, if you have an advanced iPad, and you want to play a game on it that would be really hard to play if you had to use a giant D-pad that was like 4 inches across, Space Miner is pretty cool. Riff, if you haven't played Space Miner, you might like it.
I have downloaded it, but I haven't got around to playing it yet.
It's like Asteroids RPG.
Basically.
You know? But, yeah.
Very well written.
Yeah.
Fun upgrades.
I can see why you say that. Like, you describe the dialogue in it as being well done. Compared to
almost any other game.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, there is a pretty significant level of quality in the writing.
I'm not saying it's Nabokov, but, you know.
But it really is an Asteroids RPG. If you like Asteroids and you like RPGs, or if you like one or the other of those two things, you might like this.
Yeah, I mean, you got a ship that you get upgrades on, which is
you
cool.
You have a miner to whose delinquency you can contribute.
Yes. There are achievements.
That's right up your alley. Right, Hot Stuff's mom? Did she really say something about all the high school girl jokes?
Yeah.
That's funny. Was she concerned that you were banging high school girls?
No, I don't think so.
Because I would think that if your mom found out that you were banging high school girls, she would just be relieved that you're not gay.
I think she would be afraid that I'd be going to jail soon.
Oh. She did say something about, watch out, you gotta watch out for the jailbait. I remember her telling me that in response to something that I said.
Yeah.
And I was like, aw, isn't that cute? Hot Stuff's mom knows about jailbait. Your mom is awesome. You're just adorable. You know who else is fucking adorable? Mr. Skullhead's child.
That's true.
That baby is fucking adorable.
Is it continuing to be the case? I feel like at some point a lot of babies graduate out of adorableness into, like, uglyhood.
No. I don't think that kid is going to get ugly. And you wouldn't think. I mean, Mr. Skullhead is a grim-looking son of a bitch. he is an ugly motherfucker.
It is astonishing to me. Leveraging this child's, like, appeal, because, you know, I've never seen a baby that is as attractive as young Ollie.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like they should be leveraging that. They should be making money out of that.
Yeah, they should put him in commercials.
Yeah, cause cute baby.
All right, another voicemail then.
Hey, this is Jerky the Jerk, avid KOL player. I have a weird question for you guys.
over time, obviously, there are items that get used up and ones that no longer become available. Are there any items that there are absolutely none left of in the entire game? They've just been completely wiped out. And if so, how can you tell? How do you know if someone is, like, holding on to one in an inactive account somewhere? So, anyway, just curious. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Well, second question first, how do we know? Ooh, there was some feedback. We know. We know when you've been sleeping and we know when you're awake. We've got tools. We've got machines that do that for you. And by that, I mean keep track of how many items there are. There is nothing... There are no consumable items that there are none of left.
Yeah.
There are no consumable items that there are not, like, pretty significant supplies of left.
Well... That's not true.
Depends on what you feel is significant.
I feel like dozens is not significant given the size of the player base.
You don't think?
No. I mean, hand turkeys are a prime example.
So...
Or like the...
Can I then... This gift certificate I have for dozens of blowjobs, do you feel like that is an insignificant thing and you do not want it for your birthday?
Well, is it this is all the blowjobs you can ever have in your entire life because there are no more?
Huh.
Then, yeah, that kind of sucks.
Really, you wouldn't want that gift certificate because you would rather have the potential for infinite blowjobs?
Yes.
You think you're likely to get more than dozens of blowjobs for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You think you're going to settle into it? You think you're going to eventually settle into a situation where you get, say, thousands?
Sure.
Is that what you're hoping for? Thousands of
blowjobs? That's what I'm holding out for.
You're holding out for?
Yeah.
You're not going to settle down with a gal unless you can get thousands of milk for free.
Milkings?
Yeah. huh. Well, I guess I'm going to have to give this dozens of blowjobs gift certificate to someone else. I mean, they're from me, so... maybe you didn't want it anyway.
Doubly so.
let's see. I think I had more voicemails. I definitely have more voicemails. All right, here's Gina Sage, Ace Attorney.
Hey, Jack, it's Gina Sage, Ace Attorney here. Oh, sorry, I meant Jack and Friends, of course. Great show. Listen, I was looking into making a loathing-like game, like back in the original days of Cave of Loathing, when it was just, you know, click on something and read something funny. But I don't know the first thing about starting an endeavor like this. 16-year-old nerd going on 17 with no idea where to start. So, what would you recommend for being the first few steps in getting a project like this done, having experienced it yourself? Thanks. Gene Sage, Ace Attorney out.
First, you're going to need to get old enough to drink.
That sounds familiar.
That's a tough call, right? Because there's, like, the whole, like, theoretical and content framework that you developed over years of just, like,
watching movies and...
Well, making games. You know, you made a bunch of games on pen and paper, and, like, you...
But presumably, a guy who is interested in doing something like this has probably also done some of
that. Well, okay, so, but I'm just saying that came for you before anything...
Right. So, I mean, I was programming games before my mama was a baby, you know, so it's hard to...
We were talking about this the other day, where when Jake and I were in grade school, there were a lot of books published that the entirety of the book was just programs you could type in.
Yeah, yeah. I used to get
a magazine?
Magazine that had those, yeah.
Was it Enter?
I believe it may have been.
So I never got... I don't know why, but I never subscribed to Enter. I only subscribed... But I got 3-2-1 Contact, and every month there was like
a program
in it, like a game that you could type in. And I still have all of my 3-2-1 Contacts, but at some point when I was a kid, I cut all of the programs out and put them all in one place, and that I don't have.
Wow.
Yeah. That's got to be archived somewhere. And there got to be this weird divergence because it was like, well, here's the version if you have a Tandy with, you know, three voice speakers and stuff. So it got really weird. It was like there was only a certain period of time when it was going to be possible for stuff like that to exist, right? And I don't know. There was some amazing stuff. It was an interesting time to be a nerdy kid when we were growing up.
And as far as I know, nothing like that exists anymore.
Yeah, you know, I'd read some people complaining that, like, basically, if you buy a computer now and give it to your kid, there's nothing on that computer that your kid can use to learn to program. There wasn't anything on our computers that we could use to learn to program. But, like, my first computer came with a couple of books that were about basic programming, right? And it was because my dad bought my first computer secondhand from a buddy of his, who you met, actually, when we went back home. You know, it was just, like, a bunch of program listings and explanations of, like, how basic programming works.
I definitely had a manual for basic with my computer that derived a bunch of sort of utility from.
You can also learn a lot of stuff from reading the other programs, right? Like,
that was the thing. Like, learning by example was definitely a big way of doing stuff.
So there's a lot of people trying to come up with, like, oh, here's a thing where you can teach, you know, here's a programming language designed for kids or whatever, but, like, it doesn't really seem to be taken off. I mean, clearly there are 20-year-olds who are really good programmers, sure. So there's something. Somebody figured out something at some point, right? You know, and I feel like there has never been a better time in terms of accessibility. Like, if you have access to the internet, you can get, you know, free hosting for a website with PHP running on it and, you know, a MySQL database in the back end. And to answer your question, Gina Sage, Ace Attorney, I would probably say I would still recommend, even today, 7 years later, doing exactly the same thing that I did, which is to just learn PHP and MySQL. Go buy a book. There are books that are, like, developing web applications using PHP and MySQL. Go buy that book and think about, hey, how would I use this to make a game? You know? And,
yeah, KOL developed so organically that you just start with, you know, you start with a couple of features and then just see what you can do, you know?
Some people would probably tell you to use Ruby on Rails. But I don't know anything about Ruby on Rails. Ruby on Rails has, like, database stuff built into it, so I feel like it's only one thing that you have to learn. But then the way that the database works is you're, like, you type in, make me a database, and it's like, okay, you got a database. And then you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I wonder how transparent that would be to somebody who'd never done anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe super transparent. Maybe Ruby on Rails is crazy awesome for the learner.
You could also try to learn programming via the Suzuki method, where you watch someone typing and then you try to type the same thing.
What?
Like the Suzuki method for learning violin.
I didn't know about that. The only Suzuki I'm familiar with is, like, a sweet Suzuki 200cc motorcycle.
No.
I don't know, 200cc. It's probably not very much.
For a motorcycle?
I had an 80cc dirt bike when I was a kid. Not that girl dirt bike that we met at Comic-Con, but a real dirt bike.
Are you saying that she's not real?
Well, I'm saying she's not a dirt bike. There was also a movie I saw when I was younger called The Dirt Bike Kid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm curious as to whether or not anyone else on Earth has seen that movie.
So, does dirt bike necessarily refer to something that is motorized?
Yeah, a dirt bike is a dirt bike is a type of motorcycle.
I feel like my mom called my, like, bike a dirt bike.
Mom calls all sorts of things by all sorts of names, as we've established.
Yeah, I would not have necessarily said that a dirt bike was something that had to be motorized.
So, here's Bahu with a joke that I don't understand.
Bahu writes, you know, they actually did invent a vaccine for stupid people. It's just a huge canister of air.
I don't get it.
Me neither.
A vaccine for stupid people. So, are you vaccinating yourself against interacting with
poison air? With
stupid people?
I mean, is it injectable air that kills you?
Is it?
So, here's something. I was always super freaked out about the whole, like, air bubbles in your bloodstream thing. Because, like, you think about that and it's like, ah, it's horrible. And one time when I had an IV put in, when I went in for my kidney stone, maybe, or something, I was like, should I be worried about that air bubble that's traveling down that tube towards my vein? And the nurse was like, no, it would take a lot more air than that to do anything. So I'm like, oh, sweet. So I'm not so worried about air bubbles in my veins anymore.
Huh. And then you died.
Yeah. No, it was weird. I had a, yeah. Well, I didn't die. I had a stroke. And that's why, that was when I was like, hey, we should do NS13.
Was it a stroke of genius?
Oh! All right, here's another thing from Bob. From Bahu.
Bahu writes, you know, Pulverize is a wonderful skill, a great little game mechanics, great little flavor. The problem is, it's just too boring. Can we get some kind of improved interface with it? Like, say, instead of going to this list of stuff to pulverize, you go into pulverize mode in your equipment tab. Pointer, maybe if you want to be fancy, turns into a meat-smithing hammer. You just go through your inventory, clicking on things and pounding them into little powder then and there. So instead of picking stuff out of a list, you can just play whack-a-mole with your inventory.
I think we should just have it where if you mouse up or something, it pulverizes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think that's true. Yeah, and if you put your mouse over one of the pictures, it pulverizes that item, and then if you like rush the scroll wheel down, it just sort of randomly pulverizes items from that column.
But you could also pulverize like interface elements, like
points. Yep, I can't. I guess I can't equip this anymore because I pulverized the equip link for this sword. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Pulverize that this main frame
would be pretty cool. Let's see. Here's one from somebody who was anonymous.
Well, I don't really care much about the KOR radio, but I do care in knowing if you plan on continuing the multiple traveling trader visits that you've had over the last couple of months, and continuing that into the upcoming year more. I know a lot of players are really excited and would really like to see that. All right, thank you.
Hey, you know, you don't care about the radio, and maybe I don't care about your noisy fucking kid. So next time you leave us a voicemail, how about you shut your kid the fuck up so there's not a noisy fucking kid in the background? And yes, the traveling trader will continue to show up for the rest of the year, you dick.
Gosh.
I would just start out a thing with, I don't really give a shit about your radio, but like maybe you should answer my question anyway. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not really that mad.
You know, I don't. I think KOR Radio's cool, but I don't know how much, like.
No, I would never listen to it.
I've listened to it for a while.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Sometimes I listen to. Sometimes if I was drunk when I did a radio show and I don't exactly remember it, I'll listen to it and be like, hey, this is like, I finally get to listen to my radio show.
I listened to that show where I was really drunk last year.
Mm hmm.
And I was really drunk.
You were really drunk.
Like, I kind of am glad to have that record, because if I ever like need to act drunk in the future, I can just go back to that and be like, okay, this is what I sound like when I'm really drunk.
You get kind of sing-songy with your voice.
It's,
yeah.
I would need to sit down and like actually sort of study it a little bit more carefully. Yeah, but it's very distinctive.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, you were the drunkest of all of us. I was just like, I feel like I was like making fun of fat girls, which that's something I do even when I'm sober, and I was like probably making fun of nerds. It's really not like doing us any favors in terms of PR.
I don't think you ever set out to do anything where you do us favors in terms of PR.
What? Come on. This whole thing is just a thinly veiled cult of personality. That's what I learned at Arkenstock.
Huh.
I think it was Bette Noir who played that on me as a blank white card. Yeah. Thinly veiled cult of personality.
Huh.
Like, I didn't even care about a game. I just wanted to. I just want a harem of lovely ladies, and this was the best way that I could think of to acquire that. And ironically, Mr. Skullet is the one with the harem chat channel. I'm just more covert in my harem gathering.
Yeah.
I was especially interested in that polygamy in America article in National Geographic, because I'm like, boy, you know what I could really use is more fucking wives, because that worked out so fucking well. Just saying.
Would they have had to split their half, or would everybody involved get an equal share?
Oh, Jesus Christ, I don't know. Would that guy have had to lose all of his money 26 times? He had 26 wives. They have 26 wives?
46.
46. No, he had 46 kids.
Oh, yeah. Five wives.
Five wives?
Five wives.
Yeah. Here's another anonymous.
Hey, guys. I was going through some old radio shows, and it was like from 2004, and you guys were talking about introducing a silent auction to the game. You talked about the silent auction and the silent but deadly auction. And I know we have the Raffle House now, but I was wondering whatever happened to those ideas. The silent auction and stuff sounds really cool. So your game's really awesome. Thanks.
Silent. But
see, that's the way to leave us a voicemail. Talk about how awesome we are. Yeah, no. Doc Galactic, we were talking about doing a silent auction where there'd be like an item that the only way you could get it was in this one-time auction. And just like, you'd bid however much you felt like bidding, but you didn't see other people's bids. And then whoever bid the most got it. And then Doc Galactic suggested the silent but deadly auction where it works the same way, but everyone loses their bid no matter who wins.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, I feel like I'm going to save that until I need to instantly sink, like, 40 billion meat from the game. I feel like a
thing...
I don't
have any idea how that would play out, because it would be...
Yeah, what would you do? Like, as a person who was interested in that,
it's
I feel like the shrewd thing to do is just nothing. Like, the only winning move is not to play.
Or is it to like put one meat in, right? Because if everybody else doesn't do anything, then your one meat wins, right? But then you're like, oh well, maybe I should put in two meat.
Yeah,
that's a pretty quick.
It's like that that auctioning the dollar bill game.
Yeah.
Oh right, where people will pay more than a dollar for a dollar because they've already bought into it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you like the game is what you commit to actually paying or something. Or 50% of what you're paying.
I think the version I heard was that it's just an auction, but the top two bidders lose their money.
Right.
Oh, weird.
So they end up fighting each other.
All right, so we're gonna do a little RDF marathon.
Hey guys, love the show. Listen to the Monday show. You were talking about the leprechaunomy or leprecolonies with leprechaun. You forgot about the narco leprechaun. He will secretly try to sell you his gold, usually some sort of gold from like Central or South America, and then he will arrest you when you try and buy some of his gold, and then he just falls asleep suddenly. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye. Hey, guys, love the show. I'm just going to keep calling the Tane line until you guys start doing voicemails again on the show. I was listening to the November show, and Jick uses the word cyclopean to mean really big. I've been listening to The Call of Cthulhu like over and over on Books on Tape lately to fall asleep to, and so hearing Cyclopean on the show is awesome, because I think that the most merciful thing in the world is the inability of hot stuff to figure out why you use the word Cyclopean. You guys have a good day. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Hey, guys. Love the show. Just listening to the Monday show, and you were talking about getting buried up to your neck in an anthill or something. And you know what I'm thinking? You gotta have like a really deep anthill or a very tall anthill, and that's old school. And I'm thinking like maybe they have portable, wearable anthills that you could, you know, put on somebody or put on yourself. And there'd be like different levels of how much of a pain in the ass it would be. So like there'd be the full body anthill that goes all the way from the neck down to the feet. Or just like the waist high anthill, which is like, you know, moderately painful. And then if you just like want a little light dusting of pain, there'd be, you know, like a paper plate around your neck with just like a sprinkling of ants on it, not even a hill, you know? I think that would be cool to have. So maybe one of those. I'll take two. Thanks. Bye. Hey, guys. Something I forgot in reference to being buried up to your neck in an anthill. Totally an easy way to survive that. You just have to lure the queen into your mouth, and then all the other ants will like follow her in, so you just use eat them. It helps if you have some, like, cherry lifesavers in your mouth all the time. And tongue stud is good for that because you can just kind of snap it right on there. I hope that helps out. Thanks. Bye.
Who the fuck falls asleep listening to Call of Cthulhu Book on Tape?
That is a terrifying idea.
It's like a recipe for nightmares.
Check out CthulhuLives.org and their they sell CDs. The series is a Dark Adventure Radio Theater. They did like old school 40s and 50s style radio play versions of a bunch of different H.P. Lovecraft stuff. They're really good.
Let's do like a 4 or 5 minute break because I need to get some more whiskey. I asked Roy how to say whiskey in German, and he said it was just whiskey. I don't know if that's true or not.
He might be making stuff up.
We're going to have to learn some German.
I have requested German audio tapes.
From Netflix?
Yeah.
From the library?
From the library.
You went to the library?
Why do you need to know German?
We're going to Germany.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to Germany or not.
What's in
you
Germany?
Might back out, really?
I might. Well, I mean, I just don't know. Like, finally people are actually firmly making these plans. There's lots of things. Riff, the only time I've ever been to Germany, I was with you. Were you just not paying attention the entire time?
I meant more specifically.
I want fucking doner kebab. I want a doner kebab for breakfast. I want a doner kebab for lunch. I want a doner kebab for dinner. And then I want to go out drinking. And then I want a fucking doner kebab after I go out drinking.
That's the only reason you're going is to get back to that doner kebab place.
No, it's not even that place. We went to two different places, and they were identical, and they were identically fucking amazing. So yeah, no. I'm gonna mail some back here, and I'm gonna give them to our top scientists. And say, like, why the fuck doesn't anybody make this here? And then they'll be like, oh, it's something about the gravity. Anyway.
Because that top's different in
top
Germany.
Scientists are always talking about gravity.
No, it's a very specific gravity.
All right. On that note, here's some depressing music.
I am not worried. Wrap her up in a package of lies. Send her off to a coconut island. I am not worried. I am not overly concerned. The status of my emotions. Oh, she says you're changing. But we're always changing. It does not bother me to say this isn't love. Wanna talk about it then? Isn't love? And I guess I'm gonna have to live with that, but I'm sure there's something in a shade of gray or something in between. And I can always change my name if that's what you mean. A friend assures me it's all enough, but I am not really worried. I am not overly concern. You try to tell yourself the things you try to tell yourself to make yourself forget. To make yourself forget. I am not worried if it's love, she said. Then you're gonna have to think about the consequences. Cause she can't stop shaking, and I can't stop touching her. And this time, when kindness falls like rain, it washes her away. Rain.
years and all alone. I'm not ready for this sort of thing.
Alrighty, I am freshly liquored up and we are ready to continue with the second half of the show, or really the second and a half, 45 minutes of the show. We got a couple more twats that came in. Gleeb says, injecting air into your bloodstream gives you a heart attack. I don't think that's how it kills you. I think the air rises to the top of your brain and you get like lack of oxygen to your brain. It kills you.
Huh.
Sparklin says, do you design so that most players can figure it out in-game, or do you want players to use the wiki and the forums? Also, you guys rock. I've always thought that looking up game solutions is tantamount to cheating. Well, there's a number of conflicting schools of thought at work.
We definitely do things that a dedicated player would almost definitely be able to figure out on their own.
Yeah.
Or maybe in small groups.
I feel like, in general, gameplay is pretty comprehensible, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, and we've made it more accessible than less, I think, in recent months or years.
I mean, some people would claim that you can't figure out where to get the rims without looking on the wiki, or at a FAQ, or at a guide,
well,
or whatever.
But that's debatable, right?
You can also do it if you remember stuff.
Yeah.
Because you cannot have gotten to that point without seeing them.
Or just having gotten stuck, start looking around a little bit, and you'll see them. You know?
Or remember that you can use fortune cookies, which will help you.
Right.
You know, like, there are ways in-game to solve these problems. But, you know, that said, they're not just, like, super obvious or easy or straightforward or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough call. Like, we assume that a lot of people will use the wiki because a lot of people do. I mean, you know, we're just realists in that regard.
We're tautologists in that regard.
The first rule of Tautology Club is the first rule of Tautology Club.
That was a great
one. That was a pretty good comic. Half Void says, notice that all the pirates on the poop deck have names starting with W for a little alliteration. I wonder why. Well, I will tell the tale of the tea pirates from Bartleby's Bar. Barney's Bar. Barney's Bar? Barney's Bar. Barney. Bartleby's Bargain Bookstore.
Right.
Barney's Bar. There's a tipsy pirate. Right. Don't the pirates in the bar start with T?
I don't remember. Because the original ones were S.
Were right? They?
Because Sassy.
Swarthy.
Yeah. The bar is T. I remember because I played through there today and I remember seeing the toothy pirates.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, because it's funny. That's the kind of shit we do here.
Alliteration is funny?
It's the kind of shit we do here at Funny Central Games, Inc. That's the new name of our company, Funny Central Games, Inc.
Which is not alliterative.
No. Funny
Unless
fucking
you're
games.
Spelling stuff wrong.
Unless you're illiterate.
Oh, yeah. Illiterate alliteration.
Ornette wrote, I'm disappointed that the effect of the earworm isn't just con! Hoover says, critical hits from Spaghetti Spear do less damage than standard hits. Glitch? That's weird. I'm going to look at that code.
There was an interesting comment on the forums, a couple interesting comments on the forums about how the ultimate legendary epic weapons are worse in some ways than the legendary epic weapons for missed classes. Cause,
really?
Yeah, because of spell damage caps and stuff, like there was like a really nice balance in terms of where the legendary epic weapon sat, so like having it higher power, like do more damage, like more plus spell damage, actually isn't necessarily ideal. And also, criticals are actually throw off careful gameplay because if you're trying to get a particular,
we knew that that would happen.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that mechanic is. You know, it is more interesting and more exciting in some ways, but it's also more problematic for people that were trying to use it as a very reliable
right
source of whatever.
You know, like everything, maybe the spell damage caps that we settled on a couple years ago could stand to be reevaluated in light of more
yeah.
recent game developments.
And maybe the caps should be higher if you crit. Right. Yeah. Like, that would, I think, that would be a nice sort of pairing.
Right. So yeah, there was a bug with Spaghetti Spear and the critting, and it was not doing less damage when you critted, it was just doing the same amount of damage when you critted. And now it does anywhere from 2 to 3 more damage on a critical hit.
Huh.
So, say thanks, Hoover. Everybody say thanks, Hoover!
Thanks, Hoover.
Cool, you guys did it. Diff says, so can we have animated canned air single barrel whiskey and pate pictures too? No.
Can we have what?
No.
What was the first word of that?
I don't know.
It was an adjective.
Diff says, so can we have animated canned air single barrel whiskey
why,
and
why
pate
why would they
pictures?
Be animated?
I don't know. That's why I said no.
Oh, I see.
Snave says, gah, third ascension in a row. Please make losing to the Goblin King update the last adventure link like every other boss. Yeah, every other boss exists in a zone. The Goblin King is just in a container document.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
You could just make him in the zone, right?
Yeah, but then it'd do weird shit if you popper him or pepper him or twitter him.
You can make him no popper.
You can pop a twitter.
No pepper.
Gleeb says, the writing for the Accordion Thief Nemesis quest did a really good job of making me hate Somerset Lopez, the dick.
Yep, that was my aim there.
Thank you for going back and editing him when I decided that his hat was going to be the main bad guy. it was the only way to draw him. Riforama says, today's Slashdot linked to some Lego Insanity, a Mindstorm setup that solves Rubik's Cubes in 12 seconds, which got me thinking, could we have a Haradric Bricko pizza oven, Lego cube, and Sudoku solver? No. Riff, what's wrong with your Rubik's Cube solver?
A piece fell off.
Oh.
And I'm not sure which piece.
Oh, jeez, that sucks.
Also, you have to have it under a very strong light for it to be able to tell the difference between the colors.
Huh. Cal010 says, there's a different discovery for every way to make a vial of brown slime. Intentional? It makes getting the cooking trophy a ton easier. We should probably make those cooking trophies harder to get now. I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to raise the bar on those after they've already been out in the world.
No, I don't. Yeah.
On the other hand, it makes other trophies more difficult. So, you know, it's a trade-off.
Jiffy Man says, play Holy Diver. No, I played enough Hole Diver while Hot Stuff's mom was in town. You see, the implication here is that I had a lot of sex with your mom.
Really?
Hot Stuff.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, it was weird. Well, you were in a different room. Hot Stuff's mom totally slept at my house for, like, days.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was making jokes about hooking up with me.
I've stayed at Jick's mom's house, so...
That's true.
It's only
Wait,
fair.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, right, on the road trip?
Yeah.
We did? And yeah, okay. Kleinhoon says, I didn't even notice the Nemesis quest was added until you talked about it on the show. The what now?
Oh, you mean all those trophies we put in?
Yeah.
People don't... we got a lot of flack. We got a surprising amount of flack. I wouldn't say a lot of flack.
About
we got
not
a
surprising announcing it.
About not announcing a bunch of stuff, and... That's. I feel like that's our style.
I feel like it was mainly people who were annoyed about people asking questions in chat, and I feel like that's not a fair opinion.
No,
to have
I think
just based
there
on
were
that.
There were a handful of casual players that were like, "Why didn't you say this? Well, I totally would have come back, you know, days ago and started playing if I'd known." You know, I've been waiting for this for years or whatever, and I'm like, well, I can see your point.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
we're definitely
also
disseminating.
Much more fun when it's a surprise. You know,
it was two. You know, one of the mechanical reasons that did not happen was because of the way that the mechanism by which you sort of you proceed was meant to be sort of a surprise, and we wanted it to very much to be sort of a what is going on? Oh my gosh, what's happening? Kind of thing, and I think that happened for a lot of people. It was like, what's happening here?
Yeah, we got a ton of bug reports that were like, what the fuck, I just fought a penguin in the
ocean.
Yeah. Fubar Bazcuck says, is there a way to feed lots of candy to the stocking mimic at once? If there isn't, could you add one, please? There is. If you go into... You know, this is one of those things where it... People keep asking for this feature even though it exists, which makes me believe that maybe it's not clear. Like, it is not in the most obvious location. Like, when people were constantly asking for that, can I please have a link to manage my custom outfits? And it was just fucking there. And for months and months and months, people kept asking for this feature, and then I swapped the places of it and the thing above it, and people stopped asking the question.
Yeah, that honestly would have been kind of a fascinating just interface study or thing to have documented.
Yeah.
And just put on the web somewhere just as a relic.
Like, yeah, like, what the fuck?
Like, this was the situation before, constant sort of like, why does this feature not exist even though it's right there? And this is the situation after. Why is this so much better? And just seeing what sort of
people... I mean, there is probably, like, I feel like interface design is probably enough like a science now that somebody
could
explain that to us. Yeah. So yeah, where is the place where you feed a lot of the?
It's when you go to the terrarium, yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, if you.
I think the problem is that people go to their inventory to feed them. Right?
Yeah,
and so maybe there should be a link in your inventory.
Well, maybe there should be a link on your familiar,
in the familiar pane.
In the character pane.
Yeah, the character.
Yeah, you know. Like, just a feed link that goes to familiargorger.php.
You didn't ever consider, like, putting the familiar in its own pane and the effects in their own pane or anything like that? Like, how did you decide which things went in which panes?
Well, chat goes in the chat pane.
Well, clearly. I mean, chat's separate. But, like, the menu pane, I guess, sort of makes sense, but that wouldn't necessarily have to have been in a menu, in its own separate pane. I guess the fact that it doesn't...
Well, I mean, nothing was in frames in the beginning, right? Like, everything was... Yeah, like...
I didn't see the game super early on.
You didn't see the... When I reconstructed the very early prototype screenshots for the documentary?
I don't remember them.
Yeah. Yeah, there were no... Like, even chat was not in its own frame... It was just like the reason that the chat table is named graffiti is that it was not a chat. It was like a community graffiti panel that was sitting next to the main game interface that you could just see the last five things that people had written, but people started using it to have conversations. And so I was...
So you didn't even
call
intend
it a chat.
Necessarily to have a chat.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Well, I didn't know how to write a fucking chat.
But it, like, super organic. Like, just, it's interesting to me the things that you do on purpose, and it's interesting to me the things that you do on accident, right? Because now, when you talk to people, you're like, "Yo, you totally need a chat in your game because that's gonna be really important."
It's always wrong, though.
But
it never works.
It isn't wrong, though, right? Because you need some way for your players to be able to interact if you're gonna foster a community.
Ah, good old the Beowulf, always just raping the shit out of everyone who encounters him.
Not always, clearly.
Almost always.
A lot of the time.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, we got more radio bugs, Bear. The Chitin Apprentice says, I spent 3 hours trying to complete the volcano maze. Ugh, awesome quest, though. Nardo Lupa says, the Nemesis content was thoroughly enjoyable. The maze is the best puzzle in the game. Thanks for not making each hop across an adventure.
Wow.
Glebe says, so who's the vague, swirly, demonic-looking thing that you don't recognize from the Mariachi Barracks chess set?
I don't know if I should say.
Okay. Bulletproof says, why do you have to use a club to get the Mother Hell Seals to drop the proper items? It makes no sense when you can one-hit them completely unequipped. I'm going to speak for Riff when I say, really? It makes no sense that a seal clubber... needs to club seals in order to complete the seal clubber epic quest. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure that makes no sense, Bulletproof?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's possible that what Bulletproof was trying to say is Bulletproof's hands
Bubbledorf?
Bulletproof. Bulletproof's hands are clubs.
Oh, his hands are registered as clubs in the state of California.
Yeah.
Pobblebunk says, I saw that penis tree thing, and I think that's a pretty abstract representation of a penis. People freaked out about that? What the hell is wrong with folks down there? I mean,
it was pretty obvious what it was representing.
Yeah, it was pretty clear that it was supposed to be a penis.
There were no cock and balls, though. The comic that I think it was C.D. Moyer linked today was really funny.
Pretty funny, yeah.
Which one was that?
It was the crop circle, and the people looking at the crop circle and saying, like, whoa, what does it mean? It must be a message from this alien species. And then it's like, meanwhile, in outer space, and there's this alien in the shower whose penis looks exactly like the crop circle.
Which I was like, oh, of course, it's user-created content. Yeah.
St. Doodle says, is there any possibility of giving further thought to /listen clan you're whitelisted in but not currently a member of? Because that would be awesome. That would be so, so messy.
Yeah, right now...
to deal with.
That is handled in such a specific way as to make that nigh impossible.
Basically, clan is a single channel
everybody's talking into,
and it filters everybody's chat based on what clan they are in.
So to have cross-clan...
It would not be impossible to do that.
But it would be a mess.
Yeah, it would be a mess, and it would be a mess figuring out, like, how you would indicate that you wanted to talk in one of those clan channels, but not the other.
It would be weird because, well, I guess we could relabel clan.
Right, clan 2, clan 3, clan 4, clan 5, clan 6.
Because, like,
right?
without relabeling, you'd say something in /clan, and you're not sure which of the people in which channel could hear you, yeah.
A Naked Jew says, why does the image say broodling and the last adventure link say brooding?
I think that has been fixed.
Has it?
I could be wrong. Because I went in to try to fix it, and the place where I would have expected it was spelled correctly, so I don't know.
Someone else says, you got it wrong. The delicious curry attack is in Aria of Sorrow and Dawn of Sorrow, not Portrait of Ruin. Okay, so Dawn of Sorrow. Dawn of Sorrow is the first DS one, right?
Okay.
I think Aria of Sorrow was a GBA game. Well, sorry, someone else. Dawn of Sorrow is the one that I replayed to 100% completion while we were in England.
Right.
Portrait of Ruin is the one that I played to 100% completion while I was sick.
That's nice that you have all time. These memories.
I have memories of Castlevania. Order of Ecclesia was the one that was disappointing.
Did you actually finish it?
No. Well, I think I beat it. I think I finished the game. I think so.
The Dracula fight was stupid hard.
Yeah.
Like, I spent a couple hours trying to beat it and got really frustrated because there was multiple phases and I finally figured out how to beat, like, the first phase pretty reliably, but that was, like, 5 minutes and then I would just get immediately raped in the second phase. Yeah. And, like, so I just looked up for a spoiler. And, like,
I think I did look up spoilers for the Dracula fight because I had already looked up spoilers for the Jackal fight.
Jackal.
Yeah, that, like, weird Egyptian silhouette jackal thing that you were fighting.
I
don't know. That game was fucking ridiculous.
It was pretty hard. It was not as bad as you had led me to believe.
It was too hard.
It was hard.
It was too hard. It was cool. It had some aspects to it that I really liked. Like, I've always wanted a Metroidvania game. I've always wanted, like, a DS Castlevania game where there were, like, just multiple smaller areas to go to. Portrait of Ruin was really kind of awesome in that regard. Yeah. Right? I think Portrait of Ruin is probably my favorite of those games. You know, it's weird. That is my favorite of those games, and that is my favorite genre of games, but I would not say that Portrait of Ruin is my favorite game.
Huh.
I don't know.
That's some sort of weird logical paradox.
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think I would probably say that Loom is my favorite game, and I think that I am being tainted by nostalgia.
But you've played it
when I say that.
Yeah, semi-recently. Yeah. So if you still feel that way.
It's a fucking amazing game.
I have, you know, I have great nostalgia for almost every Sierra Quest game.
Yeah. Star Control 2 is up there though.
Yeah. That one is definitely the one that I think of if I was in a pinch and had to just name a game, that would probably be the one.
Yeah.
I played in a single night. I played the original Alone in the Dark. Did you ever play that?
I didn't.
That was kind of a scary game. That was definitely the scariest game that I had played in a long time. And so I played that and beat it, and that was kind of freaky. And I had just finished reading Willy Stryber's Communion, and then I played Star Control. I was, like, in the middle of Star Control 2 and played that for a while and got to the subspace where the Arlu lived, and it was just, it just freaked me out. I was constantly feeling like somebody was like looking over my shoulder. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. It was like super dark.
Did you feel
dark.
Like your genetic code had been subtly manipulated so that the ores could not find you?
I couldn't tell, but it felt weird.
I had a similar problem playing Silent Hill 3. Playing it very late at night over in the dorm over Christmas break when basically everybody except me had gone home for Christmas.
Wow.
So just the entire building was empty. It was really freaky.
I had a scary experience playing a peekaboo with this murderer that was outside the window of my dorm room.
Spoiler for babies.
So, like, to keep your babies from getting lift when they go too fast?
No, that frontal lot lyric. Spoiler for babies, adults use stealth.
Huh?
It's in the spoiler song.
Oh. You're not allowed to talk about that song.
I wasn't going to, except you had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, no, I didn't know what that... I don't remember that lyric.
Okay.
I just listened to that song today. I just listened to that album today because it's fucking great! And I can listen to it whenever I want. It's like on my phone.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time just sort of not talking about that album all the time.
Yeah, and playing it for everyone that I meet.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm really excited for that thing to come out.
Not to get your expectations up or anything.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, we are definitely talking this up, and people are gonna be like, this is okay.
Yeah. Well.
But you had sort of talked it up to me, and then I listened to it, and I was like. Right.
I was like worried. I was worried about saying anything because I'm like, what if he doesn't like it? I'm gonna feel like an idiot. But then it's like, no, it really is that good.
Even if you like listen to it the first time and aren't super excited about it, listen to it like 3 more times.
Huh.
I think because there are songs that I'm like are definitely like just really growing on me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there are songs on it that I had to listen to a few times before they really.
Yeah.
Before like the, I don't know. Like there are songs that I've listened to. Like that Joanna Newsom song that I played for you, the This Side of the Blue. Like I feel like I didn't really listen to the lyric. Like I was introduced to that song 5 years ago, right? And I didn't ever really listen to the lyrics until like the last few months. And it's just a fucking awesome song. And I don't know why. I don't know why it took me so long to like just sort of like. Wow, I didn't know that's what that line was. That's really beautiful. Because I get super gay when I listen to Joanna Newsom, and I'm like, oh, that line was beautiful. It's beautiful poetry that I appreciate with my soul. Because I'm a homo, apparently.
Only homos have souls.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, only they can appreciate things.
Yep. That's why they're not allowed to marry. The union of two souls would release energy, like E equals MC squared. Fission. Soul Fission.
Is that the sequel to Soul Reaver?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it
be
Soul
Fusion?
So you
have to go back and put back together all the souls that you reaved?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would be Fusion. Fuck.
The Large Hadron Collider is going to be, like, up to full power sometime this year.
Is it? Yeah. Are you sure?
Until the...
Pretty sure. They're, like...
Are you sure that the Higgs boson isn't going to send back a monkey?
Bird.
A monkey to throw a bone into the reactor.
I mean, I can't prove anything. Clearly.
Gina Sage, Ace Attorney, says, come on, Jack, not to be rude or anything, but is the best artwork you could come up with for the epic loot tattoos was a mirrored version of the class tattoo? Really?
It's not a...
That was our initial idea, and we thought it was so hilarious that I don't think we tried to come up with anything else.
Yeah.
Lick Al Correr says, please let record Ode... Whoa, please let... There's a word missing in this sentence. Please let us record Ode to Booze on the gramophone. And thank you for said gramophone. Nice to be able to stock up on the limited cast buffs. Yeah. No. If we let people record unlimited cast buffs on the gramophone, there will be so many of them that they will be useless. This is why we never did the like selling buffs in the mall thing before, is because we never had limited cast buffs before. Now we do... Put in this mechanism for doing it, nicely tied in to the content, only doable by accordion thieves. Really, it was win-win-win-win-win-win. There were 6 ways in which that was win. Yeah. Captain Spam says, Jawbruisers, annoying, disruptive, makes chat incomprehensible. Snowballs, pure awesome. Best Halloween ever. Riff, were the snowballs your deal?
Yeah, the snowballs were what I originally came up with for the seal clubber. Not the epic outfit, but the seal hide outfit.
All right, and then I was confused.
Yeah.
And then...
You spindled the pemmican.
Yeah, and then I made the pemmican, and then Riff made another thing, even though he was like, I don't want to do this. And I'm like, well, you don't have to, because I already did this thing that you don't want to do.
And then I was like, all right, I went and do it. Oh.
Linguini Lad says, so why can't the rave skills be permed?
Too powerful!
Too powerful, and also because there wouldn't be anything left for you to do in that quest every time you play a disco bandit.
Linguini Lad says, so is Jocko Homo gay?
You'll have to ask Mark Mothersbaugh.
And yet, also a jock.
Who's Mark Mothersbaugh?
Dude from Devo.
I see.
That he is Devo.
Okay. A Deadhead says, based on the same concept as TinyURL, check out ShadyURL.com. Same function, but it adds in phrases like internet worm or virus login yeah. into the address name. Hilarious. VlaxNV says, recent lack of bug or feature questions. Bug or feature?
Our listeners are clever.
Yep. Royal Tonberry says, for unascended characters that haven't logged in during the past month, what percentage of them quit during the MacGuffin or any other specific quest? That might be a good indication of where to look in order to fix specific quests that are just not fun to the point of, screw this, I quit for new players. I think so too, but Hot Stuff thinks that I'm full of shit when I feel like those tracking numbers are valuable. So, to me... Yeah. To me, what I think is, we can look at, in a given day, the number of people who kill the boss bat for the first time, and the number of people who kill the Goblin King for the first time, and the number of people who kill the Boner Dagon for the first time, and the number of people who kill
the number of accounts
Lord Spooky Raven
that do it, yeah.
for the first time. And I think that we can use that data to determine where new accounts are quitting. He doesn't think so. And I've never really understood your rationale for not believing that that data is valuable.
Well, because...
But you're a smart dude.
Somebody makes a multi, and they like they want
schools.
They want to do some of the early stuff to like level up or whatever, but then they like, level 11 and 12 are just not worth doing on this multi that I'm just using to like spade stuff or whatever. Right? So... Because we don't have any way to tell what is happening sort of on the front end, it's a lot less useful to tell what's happening on the back end.
I just think the number of people that are doing that pale in comparison to the number of people who are actually playing for the first time. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe 90% of the accounts that get created in a given day are multis by people who already play.
Yeah, I don't know either. Ever since the multis are has started being a lot more... Active, yeah.
Yeah. Our account sign-up numbers are way down.
Yeah, but I think that is primarily multis.
Yeah, and I think that like sort of fewer people playing at any given time is also.
I haven't actually been seeing like a tremendous drop off in number of people playing at any given time.
Oh yeah.
I
feel like it's lower than it was like 2 or 3 years ago, on average.
Huh. I don't know.
Because I feel like the number of times that I noticed that there were 1,337 people playing just like randomly when I would log on for work in the beginning of the day was much higher back in the day. Because this is like I was around like 1,000 or 1,200.
It's like 1,200 a lot lately.
When I log in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, sometimes I think maybe our popularity is waning.
Oh, I think it is. I think it probably is,
yeah. It'll eventually wane completely. We'll have to get real jobs.
I don't know. I feel like the people that are into the game really like the game, and we do keep getting new people.
Those Germans told us not to worry.
Yeah.
Everything will work itself out in the end. But I'm not waiting around till the sun comes out of the clouds. I will jump into the sky and shine down.
You know.
That's what the Smoking Pope said.
If we continue to provide...
Quality entertainment at reasonable prices.
Entertainment. I think it is entirely possible that there will never come a time when people stop.
When I have to start firing my friends.
Supporting us in that endeavor, right? Like, it is possible that that is the case.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I plan on a significant downturn in the quality of my work.
When?
Soon. Soon. I mean, I
were you thinking of you've been talking about taking up that crack addiction?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking of like smoking crack. Huh.
And pole.
LeBlanc says LHC only up to half power this year. Won't be full power for a while yet. Come on, guys. You're supposed to be a nerdy podcast.
No, it's like 60 or 70% by the end of 2009.
Dude, you guys can have a nerd fight because I don't fucking know anything. I don't like to read stories about the thing that's going to just cause the universe to cease to exist.
Some of the like descriptions of the like the actual power that it generates at any given time.
Right. It's like the amount of power that your refrigerator generates in an hour.
No, that's the that's not the LHC though.
It's not. That's that fusion thing. The cold
that's
fusion
the,
thing.
The laser.
Was
thing.
It? No, I thought it was the guy talking about the LHC.
No, that's the laser thing.
This was on like a Science Friday that I happened to hear a part of while I was driving in my car.
I'm pretty sure that's the laser thing. What is that thing called? It's got such a... The National Ignition Facility?
Yeah.
That is such a cool name. Yeah.
This is the facility for setting the nation on fire.
It is like Billy Joel doesn't work there. Lasers all pointed at the same spot.
It looks like a sci-fi.
It is
sphere.
Cool.
Yeah. It looks like sphere. Like it's going to give you magical powers. But then you have to pretend that you didn't have them so that you won't anymore.
Yeah.
Remember Sphere? Alan Q. Smithy says, thanks to the magic of the internet's most famous anus, XKCD is finally funny for a change at goatkcd.com. It's basically XKCD with the last panel replaced with a drawing of Goetze.
Every time.
Every day, yeah. I do not understand the people who hate on XKCD.
It's not always funny, but it's...
And I'm not, I don't think that kid is the second coming of Christ, but I mean, it's a good comic, right? It's like consistent, it's like consistently pretty good quality, you know?
It's almost always interesting.
And it's like, as a creative professional, like, I admire him for being able to consistently come up with new ideas and do the work to execute them, and he's like fucking 12. No, I mean, he's like, what, 23?
I think he's like 26 or something.
Really?
Yeah, I thought so.
I thought... Okay, maybe I was under the impression that he was younger than he was when we met him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a nice guy.
He's pretty young. Yeah, he's nice. He seems like a sweet kid, you know? Alan Keith says, also, I emailed that girl, by the way. It bounced back because her inbox was full. Seriously, whose inbox ever gets full these days? I don't know. Chicks that don't want to talk to you?
Oh, no.
Well,
that's a clever... That'd be a clever...
way to get somebody
on your email account.
Yeah.
Bounce back as if inbox is full.
Top Hat says, in Gorgolok's final form, if you haven't broken all his bones and your familiar attacks, it gives a message as if you were hitting it with an ineffective weapon. That's weird. I don't know how any of that shit works. I was like, I'm gonna tell you how I think this fight should work, and then you code it, and you guys test it, but I'm not gonna tell the people testing it how it's supposed to work. And then Hot Stuff's like, I'm sick, so I can't work for 2 months. That totally happened.
I was sick for like a week.
I know. You did all of your work on the Nemesis Quest in like a day.
2 days.
Yeah. Sorry. 2 days.
Looking back at our logs of like work stuff, it was like I was nowhere, and then like just screen fulls of me like doing stuff.
I know. That work log is weird. You can always tell when one of us gets a boner for work and just does like a month's worth of work in a day. Clink says, chat macros in the old chat system don't seem to work for skill casting. Does that system ever get updated? No.
Yeah, the fact that they work at all is kind of shocking.
Yeah. Pobblebonk says, regarding karma, isn't it a problem that getting on a leaderboard gives you a benefit that will help you do a run to get you on a leaderboard? Seems that would indicate that this would keep a handful of people on top with an advantage few others will be able to get. It also seems like more work pre-run to be optimal. No. No. It doesn't give you any more of an advantage than a slower person could get slightly more slowly. Right? So it's...
Or somebody who's willing to do a couple of casual lead-in runs and then a speed run, you know? You can still do a couple, like, you know, it's more, probably more real lifetime, but you can definitely do a couple of casual runs faster than you can do, you know, a hardcore no-path run. So.
Taran Wanderer says, I think some more famous guys have died. Think we'll be able to play cards with them? Have any cool famous guys died since we implemented Valhalla?
Cormac McCarthy was dead and then was resurrected.
That's true. That's true. So you could have played with him for a minute. Redbeard the Pirate says, I just wanted to let you guys know that I finally started adventuring in the sea again. The last time I was here was before the dolphins showed up, and you guys were right, more, about projecting hatred of in-game mechanics. I hate these damn dolphins. I love the game, thanks for all the fun, but Rift's Lava Maze makes me want to explode.
You were predicting a lot more doom and gloom about that lava maze.
It would have been a lot worse if...
It was before the...
The doom and gloom that I predicted was meant to make the skip button happen.
Okay.
Right? Raijan Neely says, I solved the volcano puzzle all by myself. The solution took way longer than the trick. Then rollover came and the puzzle reset. Am I allowed to hate you yet? Oh, wait, it's not reset. Yeah, I was going to say, that shouldn't happen. I still want to hate you for how long it took to map it. Lopez's final hat looks so cool.
I like that the hat is the real enemy.
SF Warlock says, why can't people in Hardcore / Ronin be snowballed?
I don't know.
Ask a girl.
Try not to suck any dick on the way across the parking lot.
Yeah.
Well, so the reason that we stopped jaw bruisers and snowballs from working on people in Hardcore is because the idea that you'd be done playing your turns for the day in Hardcore but wanted to hang out and chat with absolutely no way of getting rid of an obnoxious chat effect was like, we knew that we would get a ton of complaints about that. So if you're not in Hardcore or Ronin, you can always buy an eyedrop from the mall. Right? Because I feel like they're trivially inexpensive. Right?
There are a lot of them.
Yeah. Nardo Lupa says, in the Mystery Market, it used to be a pretty frequent occurrence that somebody would sell a significantly underpriced Mr. A in the mall. The market seems incredibly tight in this regard and has been for about a year. Is this because mall bots scoop these bargains up too quickly or none are being offered? I don't know. We could look at the economic data and see, like, if there are low outliers regularly in Mr. A sales, but I don't know.
The entire game is mall bots.
Yeah. Really, everybody is a mall bot. What was I doing here?
Reading questions.
I was reading.
Answering questions. Stuff.
Yeah. That reminded me. Wolfie says on the Twitter, what do you think of Mr. A's nearing 7 million? It's because the item of the month is so good.
Yeah. Brickos, man. So good.
Are they popular?
Brickos?
Are they selling well? Are we making dollars?
I'm kind of excited about Brickos, like, in the long term.
Yeah?
I think they're just going to be cool, regardless, for a long time.
You think?
I do.
It's neat that we did a Librem that didn't... whose product didn't immediately sync to mall minimum and may not for a long time.
Yeah, it definitely won't.
It is weird that the rare ones are so much cheaper in the mall than the regular ones, to me. You, I feel like, probably thought about it in a way that you could have predicted it.
The rare what?
The eye bricks.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel like those are...
Like, I feel like you would have looked at it, and it's probably, you know, a lot of people would have looked at it and thought, yeah, of course they're cheaper. But
most people can summon way more eye bricks in a day than regular bricks on the assumption that you're trying to make something like a chicken. Right? Because you only need the one eye brick.
Right. I guess that's true.
Right. So, like, in that regard, the situation is completely reversed if you're going to use them in a run, which, you know, maybe it's not optimal to use them in a run, and that's okay.
So the familiar is selling for like 12 billion meat.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, right, because the chicken is... Chicken is selling for like 7 million meat.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Why?
Why would the egg sell for twice as much as the chicken?
Well, the chicken's hard to beat.
Yeah, you have to kill the chicken.
But it's... I mean...
Okay, think about it. Look at all the stuff you have to buy to kill the chicken.
You don't have to, though. Oh, do you?
You do.
I mean, did we successfully design that fight such that you can't just out-level it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. We're good at game.
I wouldn't say that, but every now and then we have like a minor triumph.
Yeah. Answer a question while I get another whiskeys.
Okay. Jose Cuervo says, any chance of a sea turtle familiar somehow related to Perming Summon the Viatuga? It's kind of sad for turtle tamers that none of their turtle familiars can breathe in the sea. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Why don't we have any underwater turtles?
Well, the deal with underwater turtles was the ballast turtle.
No, right? I know, but like theming-wise, why are there no turtles that can breathe underwater?
Because no turtles can breathe underwater.
There's tons of sea turtles.
No, there aren't. They breathe air.
Well, but so do dolphins, and they're all over the sea.
No.
Okay.
Fine. Bigglesworth says, could the new skill Canticle of Carboloading please hide itself once you've used it like the other unusable skills do? Thanks. I really like how the bubbles of lava bubbled up in between the puzzle steps. Yep. Good old hot stuff. Right here and now. It sucks how people on a lot of browsers don't get the full effect.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew that going in. It was... doing stuff on... I feel like we're like having to design for multiple platforms almost at this point with mm-hmm. all the different browsers.
And in that particular case, you were designing multiple platforms for multiple platforms.
That is so true. Yeah. There was no good way to do it in a way that like other browsers would understand.
Right. Magic2729 says, so if the furry giant is sleaze-aligned, why isn't the goth giant spooky-aligned? We didn't want to offend goths.
I don't find goths spooky.
We're afraid that they will poison our pizzas at Sbarro.
Yeah.
Because all goths work at Sbarro.
That's kind of weird.
Durgle says, could there be an antagonist semi-rare or ultra-rare at the Penultimate Fantasy Airship? And it would be like Sephiroth. Miracle999 says, how hard would it be to change the sorority girl's combat message to stuff like, you get the jump on her, and you win the fight? It would be awesome.
I feel like it's hard to portray Valley Girl in just writing.
Skelly does it. He pulls it off. I feel like it would be hard to make a filter for text that made it sound like a Valley Girl was saying it, but... Gabriel666 says, is there a way you could make a prismatic spell for mist classes? It would be useful in all situations. I could understand it needing 120 MP like the Hobopolis skills. A prismatic damage spell would be pretty powerful.
It's true.
Apocalypse Throb says, please pass the gray poutine. Poutine. RDFM says, why solo, Mr. Skullhead? Well, doesn't matter. I'll still say, hey, guy, love the show. Have fun. Yeah, it was because I was flying home from Florida when Mr. Skullhead had to do the show, and I guess he couldn't get any of his buddies to do the show with him. Jose Cuervo's...
Bumcheek City asks, will we ever have a 8th and 9th telescope piece to be able to see the 2nd and 3rd gates in the Naughty Sorceress's Tower? The problem is, they'd have to be, like, X-ray pieces, because the gates are behind one another.
Yeah.
You can't see through the first gate to the second gate.
And this was... chosen entirely because of narrative reason.
Yeah.
Because we're dicks. I'm a dick. Me a dick.
A female dick.
Yeah. You know what? It's 10 o'clock, and I think we're done being on the show cast.
Holy crap.
I know. This was fun. It went by so quickly that it seemed like no time has passed at all.
It's the alcohol.
You have fun when time flies. That's what the Psychology of Video Games guy told me. If you make people think that less time has passed, they will report more enjoyment of things that they did during that time.
If you make them think less time has passed?
Yes.
if you tell somebody that, all right, you're going to have 5 minutes to do this, and then you have two groups, a control group that you give 5 minutes to do the thing, and then another group that you end it after 3 minutes, the people for whom you ended it after 3 minutes will report having enjoyed it more. You get used to the whole time flies when you're having fun thing, and if you can trick somebody into experiencing a sort of bogus time dilation, they will assume that they had more fun.
Weird.
It is weird. This is an interesting blog. I'm gonna link you to it because I've been reading it, and it's pretty fascinating.
I mean, you can't
maybe
do that.
Maybe I'll link to it on my Tumblr.
You can't do that too much because,
well, it's hard to do it to somebody on purpose.
Well,
because you basically just have to lie,
right?
And, you know,
and it's very easily countermanded by the, you know, the clock sitting on their desktop.
Sure.
So.
Well, so right. I mean, but you know, the thing about like general psychology experiments is that they're performed in a controlled environment,
right?
Where
yeah.
It's not like somebody sitting at their computer. Anyway, we gotta go and
off the airs.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
See you.
Somebody. star.